And well, let us give our attention to our Old Testament reading this evening from 1 Samuel chapter 3, where we continue in our series in 1 Samuel on these Sunday evenings together, and where we find these words of our gracious Holy Spirit. And again, it's interesting to think Jewish tradition, Christian tradition, both teach that Samuel was the author of these words. So thinking back to him, thinking back to his childhood and remembering this wonderful story of how God called to him as a boy. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What is it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Speak, O Lord, your servants are listening. Speak your gospel to all our hearts. We need your healing grace. And empower us to speak your love into the lives of others, that they might know your healing grace as well. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, Hannah prayed, God heard, and Hannah named the answer to that prayer Samuel, meaning heard of the Lord. And in fulfillment of the vow that she made to the Lord when she was up at the temple making those promises to the Lord, if you'll give me a son, this is what I will do. She gave her son to the Lord from an early age to minister to the Lord at the house of the Lord under the leadership of Eli, the high priest. Hannah came to visit Samuel there at Shiloh. Every year she would come up to worship the Lord. And every year, as we've seen, she would bring him a little robe. Each year, the robe, she would make the robe a little bit bigger. As her son was growing up, he was the recipient of many robes. I've been wearing the same robe for several years. It needs to get dry cleaned, to be honest with you. But Samuel had many robes. His mother loved him, and she loved the Lord and what he was doing for the Lord. Can't you just feel her excitement? And in a very sanctified way, just the pride that she had. This robe I'm sewing is for my son who's serving the Lord. He's ministering to the Lord. And as we read, he was ministering to the Lord before Eli, under the leadership of Eli. We don't know exactly how old he was at this point, but he was still growing, we are told. As we heard last week in chapter 2 and verse 26, he continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man. It's the same language that Luke uses to describe Jesus in Luke 2:52, in order to stress the genuine humanity of Jesus and his role as a prophet in the line of Samuel and others. Jesus, of course, the final prophet for Israel and the Savior of mankind. He had become truly man in order to save all who look to him in faith. But when the Lord, word of the Lord came to Samuel, he was still in what we would call his formative years, reminiscent of Samson, whom the Spirit of the Lord began to stir when he was still a young man. Or like Jeremiah, to whom the Lord said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." So similarly, God had set Samuel apart from a young age to be his prophet. Now, God was formally going to call Samuel and begin communicating to Samuel what he was to prophesy, what he was to declare. You know, the term prophesy can really have two meanings. One is just simply to speak forth the truth, to preach the word of God, as it were. And another being to say, this is what's going to happen in the future. This is what's going to come to pass. Samuel was set apart to do both as the Lord's prophet in his day. So let's consider this call of Samuel and how he responded as such a young person under two headings this evening. First, Samuel's calling, and then second, Samuel's faithfulness. First, Samuel's calling. As we heard, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. But now the Lord was ready to start giving his word more frequently through Samuel. So one night he began to call Samuel by name. And as we heard, Samuel thought it was Eli calling him. It's speaking of someone before the service, it is sort of a comical scene. You can almost see it as a play, you know, being the actors are on stage. You can just really see this being played out, this almost comical scene. And again, it's interesting to me to think of Samuel writing these words, thinking back to this moment in time where the infinite touches the finite, where the eternal touches the temporal, where the Creator reveals Himself to the creature. This intersection of heaven and earth. It's a remarkable scene in the life of young Samuel. But Samuel thought it was Eli at first calling him. Eli finally realized it was the Lord and told Samuel what to do. Samuel obeyed and said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Or as it is perhaps better translated, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm all ears." Up to this point, we are told in verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. What does this mean, that Samuel did not yet know the Lord? We read in verse 1 that Samuel was ministering to the Lord. We heard the same thing back in chapter 2 in verse 11. The boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And in verse 18 of the same chapter, Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. And we read in verse 21 of chapter 2, Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. And as we already mentioned in verse 26, that he grew in favor with the Lord. So what does it mean here in verse 7 of chapter 3 that he did not yet know the Lord? How did he minister to the Lord and grow in the presence of the Lord and in the favor of the Lord and not know the Lord? Well, one thing that we can say for sure is that the Lord knew Samuel before Samuel knew the Lord. I'm getting an amen from a young person on that one. The Lord knows her. The Lord knows her. Even before she's conscientiously knowing him, the Lord knows her. And so it was for young Samuel. The Lord knew him before he knew the Lord. The Lord knew him before the foundation of the world. To borrow the language of St. Paul. The Lord loved him before he even made him. And when he did make him, he knit him together lovingly in his mother's womb. The Lord was with him, protecting him as he began to grow, bestowing favor on him before Samuel personally knew the Lord and began to have that conscientious personal relationship with the Lord, conscientiously entrusting himself to the Lord. He ministered to the Lord as a child might serve in the church as an acolyte or as a junior usher or helper to the deacons. One of our young people was passing out bulletins, helping Mr. Chuck pass out bulletins. You know, as we came in for the service this evening. So Samuel was serving the Lord. He was doing what Eli assigned him. Eli is sort of the Mr. Chuck of the day. You know, whatever the assignment was, the child was doing this to the Lord, for the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. But it was on this particular wonderful night described here in chapter 3 when God came to Samuel in a special way. that Samuel began to trust the Lord. And maybe you're here tonight, or maybe you're watching online, or maybe you will hear this down the road. And you, like Samuel, have been to church since you were been in church, since you were very small. But you've never really listened to the voice of the Lord, really listened. Maybe you had this sort of faint notion that, yes, God might be speaking, but maybe you've never said, oh, Lord, I really want to listen. I want to listen to you. I want to receive what you are saying. Maybe you've never really entrusted yourself to the care of the Lord, conscientiously made that decision to entrust yourself to the care of the Lord. I encourage you right now to be like Samuel and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And say to him, I entrust myself to you. I want to know you as you know me. You know, Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer, and this is eternal life, that they know you, Heavenly Father, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Before this, Samuel knew about the Lord, but on that night, he came to know the Lord personally. And so I encourage you, if you never have, to entrust yourself to Jesus. Believe in him. Believe that on the cross, he gave his life for you. He shed his blood to wash away all your sins, that you would be right with God and that you could be adopted into God's forever family. Say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening, and I trust you today. When Samuel responded like that, the Lord spoke to him and essentially said, not only do I love you, not only have I redeemed you, I'm going to use you for my glory. That's what the Lord does when his children receive his grace. He says, it's not just that we're going to be blessed. He says, okay, but you're also going to be a blessing. I'm going to use your gifts, your talents, your interests, and I'm going to, as you surrender to me, I'm going to use you to bless other people. And to Samuel specifically, he said, I'm going to speak my truth through you. And that is when the Lord told Samuel of that ear-tingling prophecy concerning Eli and his house. It was the prophecy we heard about last week in chapter 2. From an unnamed prophet who had come to Eli with the same message. So this was clearly a test. God was testing Samuel. Would Samuel go and tell Eli this sad prophecy concerning his family? That was a very daunting task for a young boy to fulfill. What would he do? And that takes us to our second point, Samuel's faithfulness. To his credit, Eli insisted that Samuel tell him what God had revealed. But even then, it would have been tempting for Samuel to have changed the word of the Lord out of fear of Eli. Surely Samuel was tempted to say something like, the Lord said it's all going to be okay. You know, remember the book years ago? I'm okay, you're okay. You know, that's the temptation for every preacher to say that, right? Every, because, you know, you want people to like you and that kind of thing, right? I'm okay, you're okay, it's all going to be okay. But that's not what God had spoken to Samuel. That's not what Samuel was to relay to Eli. So Samuel responded with faithfulness to speak what the Lord had spoken to him. It was the kind of thing we heard Kenneth read from our New Testament lesson, our gospel lesson this evening, when Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 10:26, "Have no fear of them." People that you're most likely to fear when you preach my word, when you preach my gospel, when you preach my grace, have no fear of them. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What I whisper in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. Samuel overcame fear with faith and proclaimed what the Lord had spoken to him. This is the call of every minister and, in a sense, every Christian. And that language of Jesus saying, "What I whisper in your ear, you proclaim from the housetops." I personally pray that, or some form of that, every week as I'm preparing to preach. Lord, would you speak to me? First of all, would you speak to me? And would you whisper in my ear, as it were, from your word? Empower me by your spirit to go and proclaim it from the housetops, also known as the pulpit in this context. And you know what? God always blesses us when we seek to do that. He always blesses, and he can always use us beyond what we ask or imagine. He can use us. He blessed in this context in at least two ways when Samuel spoke boldly what the Lord had spoken to him. First, the Lord confirmed that Samuel was a true prophet. He showed this to Eli by having Samuel speak the same prophecy that the unnamed prophet had spoken to him earlier. This confirmed to Eli that Samuel was the chosen prophet of the Lord. And this was confirmed to all Israel as Samuel's prophecies began to come true. Again, in verse 19, we read, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground." This means that all of his prophecies came true, or were going to come true, proving that he was a true prophet of the Lord. And the Lord blessed in a second way. There is a hint of the Lord's grace, even in the midst of this sad prophecy related to Eli's family. There's a hint of grace in the life of Eli. When Samuel told Eli everything, when he pulled no punches and told him everything that the Lord had told him, Eli said in verse 18, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Samuel's faithfulness to bring Eli the word of the Lord provided Eli the opportunity to submit to the Lord and receive his grace. The Gospel Transformation Bible puts it this way, and I'll close with this. Eli must be rejected, but the Lord raises up Samuel so that he might reveal himself by the word of the Lord. Eli's rejection from office is irrevocable, yet there are hints in the narrative that his spiritual life may have experienced some healing from the God who abundantly pardons. For instance, Eli humbly submitted to his rejection, and despite his physical and formerly spiritual blindness, he is later described as watching and trembling for the ark of God. Because God's grace is persistent, even one whose life has been marked by failure can have hope for renewal. Think of Jesus' words to the thief on the cross. Our sin can never outstrip God's grace. if we will simply come to Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.